Well, let's talk about that. I guess maybe the first thing we could talk about is what you think the biggest difference has been in Milwaukee music today compared to 15 years ago, in your personal experience.
Well, I wasn't here 15 years ago, so I'm gonna be yielding the floor.
Where were you 15 years ago?
I don't want to talk about it. Were you in high school? Yeah, I was. I was in Menasha, Wisconsin. I was involved in that music scene with a band I will not speak their name.
But names shall remain names.
So I guess I should move it over to like any of you. I don't know your backstories. Aaron?
Just go, yeah. Sure. I guess 15 years ago, what was that? I'm trying to do my math. 2001,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was still in college. I think it was like junior year or whatever. I was going to UWM. I wasn't super into the music scene yet.
Okay.
But I wasn't completely blind to it because I was doing A&E editing for the UWM Post. Because I was a journalism major. So I started going out, seeing more shows, and I think I noticed as a journalism student and about to graduate and really into music that I was scared because the coverage in Milwaukee for music was pretty bland. It was just it was really safe.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's coming just from a person who is green and didn't have much experience, but I was kind of like, man, this could be a little bit more. There could be more interesting things, more broad coverage. I thought the music scene was kind of a little same old, same old. There wasn't anything that was super new and exciting that was, grabbing my attention.
As a journalism student, was there something that you did read, whether it was local, national, that inspired you to write more about music?
Well, the first place that I got started writing after college was Vital Source magazine. And as, Tyler knows, his colleague, Matt, was that was his first column, I think.
Oh,
Matt Wild.
I've heard him say Vital Source before. But,
yep.
I knew it existed. Wasn't there something called, there was like an insert in the journal Sentinel around that point as well, right? Just like a weekly insert. I don't remember any of the names. This is very good podcasting.
No, that's cool.
What was that thing called?
We're trying to reflect. You're
screaming into the microphone.
15 years ago.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I do. I should let everybody. We can go through their points. But I have a very good point soon.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
why
promise.
I want you to lose it.
What was your connection to Milwaukee music 15 years ago? Was it as a fan or?
I mean, 15 years ago, I definitely was a fan and a consumer. I can say, from just a concert standpoint, I remember in 2001 going to the Rave to see Outkast and Ludacris. And how that would tie into a local standpoint was there was a point where the Rave didn't book many hip hop shows, period. So in 2001, with Outkast being arguably the biggest group in the country, it was Stankonia at that time. They were huge. So, and Ludacris was fairly new at the time, so he opened for them. And that was one of the first hip-hop shows I had seen at the Rave with a marquee artist. I had seen maybe some lesser-known acts before, but I'd never seen that before in that venue. And they gave them the upstairs ballroom. So that was huge to see that. So now you fast forward to there's 4 to 5 hip-hop shows booked a month, and marquee artists come to the Rave on a regular basis. But in that time, 2001, I was probably a freshman in high school. So to see a group of that caliber be here and not skip over us and go to Chicago or go to a Detroit, that was huge for me, as just a fan. And then seeing the covers, she spoke about earlier, just Journal Sentinel would only cover, they have the On Tap section, which covers entertainment. Very rarely would they really review music that really would appeal to maybe our demographic or somebody younger. Maybe it was our parents or our parents' stuff. Anytime Jimmy Buffett comes to town, they would cover Jimmy Buffett, of course.
With the whole page.
Yeah, of course. People that are buying the newspaper.
Billy Joel comes to town, they're going to focus on Billy Joel. But they didn't really have an ear or eyes to go cover local aspects of hip-hop or R&B or jazz or anything, or even things abroad. I feel it was kind of a skewed viewpoint at that time in 2001. So just to see that JS Online what they have become now, mm-hmm. and the many different blogs and things that they have on their actual website just shows the evolution of music in Milwaukee right there, because they cover way more bands from the area, way more different artists from the area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That kind of makes me feel the same way too, because I feel like back in 2001 or around that time, I was picking up like the weeklies to read more about what bands were coming, but not necessarily coverage or reviews. And Vital Source was one of those magazines that kind of did stuff outside the box. And I think with blogs and stuff, that really changed a lot. Mm-hmm. I know I enjoyed your writing, Aaron, when you did, what was the blog for?
Fan belt.
Yeah. That was really nice too, because you covered a lot of music that wouldn't have been covered by the Journal Sentinel at all. Which was nice.
It was kind of a relief to be able to write about whatever you wanted. I think that I should know this, but Fanbelt was like around, 2006 or 7, 8?
Okay.
I should know that. I'm sorry, guys. But yeah, when I started it with Millen, and then in turn Adam and DJ, we made sure to cover a broad base of like stuff in the Milwaukee scene, including like, you know, I don't think we ever covered jazz, but we definitely covered punk, rock, hip hop, stuff like that that wasn't being covered in the Journal Sentinel, mm-hmm. or even the Shepherd at the time.
Right.
The Shepherd, you know, it
evolved over a period of time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's increasingly got a little more varied.
Right.
And so what was like the radio spectrum like at that point? Like, I know that this is the, 35th anniversary of MSE?
Mm-hmm.
And 88.9, I don't know how long you've...
10 years next year.
And so I feel like the idea of having local music, I mean, other than maybe WMSE, I don't think that was really even being done. Unless a person had some national appeal, which, like, Cuckoo Cal, that was the point that I made. That was the year.
For example, if you take it back to 2001...
Yeah, that was the year that he had his album Disturbed.
Correct. He had a major deal. And my project song makes it to Rob Schneider's Animal soundtrack, which was totally random.
Yeah. But,
so that put it in a major film. Then the song charted, and you know, then he got he was on national programs. He was on 3 different national programs. Mm-hmm. Rap artist from Milwaukee had never been featured on 3 different syndicated television shows at one time. So the guy had a hell of a run, and then for his album to chart. And he was able to go on tour and things like that. So he was able to, taking it back to that year specifically, it's ironic, I now work for V100.7, but I was a 14-year-old kid, and I went to when they used to do Jam for Peace at the Marcus Amphitheater.
Oh, yeah.
Cuckoo Cal was one of the first local artists who was ever able to headline. Mm. Like, at that time, they allowed him to headline, which was huge because of how big the song was and how much buzz he had gotten around the country with the song. And I remember it was freezing cold in June because it's Wisconsin. And my mom bought me and my friends some tickets, and we went to see there was an array of artists there that year. But I just remember how excited people were to see him at that time because of how big that record was. And we had never had an artist of that caliber before on mm-hmm. that platform. So it's funny that you mentioned that.
And that album was, I think its anniversary was in September of this year. So yeah, 15 years ago. And then around that time, I think the Promise Ring was also ending,
mm-hmm.
Even though they've had a million reunions ever since because everyone has to do that.
The Benjamins were really big around that time too.
Yeah, they were
on
Drive Through Records, mm-hmm. which was like the label that Dashboard Confessional was on for one album. And then... Yeah. Like the RX Bandits and...
One of the funny thing about what Cuckoo was on Tommy Boy, and he and De La Soul were like actually the two last acts to release projects on Tommy Boy before they folded
historic.
The next year. So Tommy Boy folded in 2002, and De La Soul and Cuckoo were the last two artists to release
projects. Yeah, it must be weird to have like a number one single for like a dead label.
No, it's really weird.
Be on the road, just like, okay, I have a 3-album deal.
Ironically, though.
For a thing that doesn't exist anymore.
I was on Spotify a couple weeks ago. There's an In My Projects 2016. I had no idea. I randomly, because I like to go on Spotify and click on the Discover button. I don't know if you guys have ever done that. It's really dope. What happens is Spotify kind of learns you like Google. If you guys notice, like when you search stuff on YouTube and Google, they kind of start suggesting things. Well, Spotify learns my patterns from different genres that I listen to and different artists. So once a week, they have a Discover section. If you click on it, every Monday they update it. but they play different things that they think you may like based off your other likes. So
wow, that's sometimes really
it's,
scary.
Well, it's cool though, but sometimes it's stuff you've never heard of. It's an artist you don't know.
So you can sincerely learn new music by
other
just
times,
using Spotify.
It's somebody you've heard of and just say it's a project they released 10 years ago and you didn't know it. And you go, when did this come out? And then you can go and look. So ironically, Cuckoo Cow comes up and in my project's 2016. And I was like, when the hell did he make this? Like, so apparently there's a renaissance of him and trying to revive his career now.
Yeah, and I think, like, I don't want to leave this thing necessarily, but I feel like the difference, like, after he, his, you know, popularity sort of went down, there was a valley, like, even though there were some, like, ever-present things like the Rusty Peas.
Rusty Peas.
They've always, you know, been around.
King Hill Bastard. Dana Copperfield and some of those.
Even though they're, you know, they've, like, the Unify Records, you know, family is around. Like, there was, like, a valley, I guess, in the national attention. And now there are people like Webster X and Ishtar. And,
Wave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Different guys now.
And then some, like, encouraging local people like Lord Freddy now.
Right.
And, I mean, who else,
but that's funny.
I guess around that point,
that,
like, what are the rappers of, like, the bygone era? That...
But it's true, like he said, like, from 2001-02 to really, like, almost, like, the next 5-6 years, there was, like, really, like, a gap of, obviously, people are always creating music. We just don't always know about it.
Right.
Like, no matter what genre. Somebody's recording in their dorm room right now, and we have no idea who
and
they
it's
are.
Probably so awesome.
And
we just haven't heard it yet.
Now with the internet, there'll be a sensation tomorrow. But there was so much music probably that was coming out, it just wasn't surfacing on the radar. And think about it. The internet has always been prevalent, but honestly, it wasn't as important at that time. If you really think about it, like, people organically found out about music. Word of mouth is never going to go out of style. So a lot of times we found out about music from our peers, or maybe somebody might have had something that they heard online or something. Like, you could download back then, but, like, that's really coming out of the Napster era. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, in the early 2000s, people are trying to figure out how to download and purchase music online because so many people were downloading it illegally at that time.
Yep.
I mean, I remember Kazaa was a huge site that kids... Man, people would download so much illegal stuff off of Kazaa. Like nobody really... I mean, Metallica pretty much single-handedly shut down Napster. But after that, there were all these other different ways and pockets to get music. But like he said, the gap was he could be dope and making music, and I have no idea who he is. Because at that time, I couldn't YouTube him. I couldn't Google him. There was no SoundCloud. So you had to... People were still doing, like, hand-to-hand tapes. And, you know, you might could get in the hand of a DJ at a club or a rave, but it really was kind of hard to get your music out there.
That's one of the cool things about WMSE, because that's where I was back. Around that time, and that's been the cool thing about WMSE since they started and today. You could hand your cassette tape to them, and if it has, like, a level of sound quality and, you know, you can kind of see where the band's going, you're going to get at least one DJ spinning it and giving it a try, which I think is really cool. And there's no other station that does that for Milwaukee artists too, so that's, I mean, where I've always discovered Milwaukee music, because WMSE has given artists a chance from the very beginning, like making a mixtape in your basement to, you know, getting more popular and having deals. It's pretty cool that they don't turn local musicians down, and it's part of their mission today.
Hey, isn't that the 889 thing now? I'm like, discover Milwaukee music.
Exactly. Well, you know, you do discover Milwaukee music, but not in the breath. You know, it's just, it's not their goal to play everything, and that's the one nice thing about MSC.
Yeah, one song at least every hour from, like, a local act, which is good.
Yeah, but it's more like, you know, people that are polished up a little bit more, you know.
Right.
We don't, like, take those mixtapes. I mean, back when I started MSC, like, people would send in cassette tapes wrapped in, like, a piece of paper taped together with handwritten, like,
oh,
this is my band.
And now you're getting
it, but
there's Bandcamp download code with it.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's so nice, like, Bandcamp now. What a great way to be able to share your stuff.
Yeah, the
that
business
wasn't
model,
available.
It shifted. It used to be, like, you make a record and then you make the money back off the sales of it. And now you hand out the music for free in order to get people at your shows.
Yeah. Touring and doing shows has become the new norm for an artist to get financial support. Like, even look at Kickstarter campaigns and things like that. Like, you don't try to necessarily make money off of music anymore. You try to brand. You try to get merchandise. You try to have kind of a niche or something else to try to attract people. And I think the internet... the internet is probably, to me, the single-handed best and worst thing ever created by man. Because, I mean, for all the great things it is, there's so many negative sides to it. Oversaturation is the biggest problem, not just locally, with music, period. The fact that anybody can do it at any time is not always a good thing because it's hard to filter. One thing, if you look at 15 years ago, at least it was easier to kind of focus on what you may or may not like. Mm-hmm. There was less things going on, so it's like the radio would present something, television would present something, a magazine, maybe the internet, your friends in high school, and then that's kind of like you can pick from there. Well, now there's a new song every 30 seconds.
Yeah.
There's a new mixtape. There's a new EP. There's a new album. There's a new artist. And it's all over the place, and how can you keep up with it as a journalist, as a radio personality, as a consumer, as a DJ? Mm-hmm. Like, it's really difficult sometimes to filter, and sometimes stuff that's really dope gets overlooked because of the oversaturation, and people are like, ah, we don't want that.
It's either that, or you notice it and you love it, but then you're like, okay, what's next?
Now what's next? Yeah. And it's unfair to an artist now because you're forcing artists to feel like they have to put out music at an alarming rate now. Mm-hmm. I remember the norm for like most artists would be like, you work an album for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you would record it, you would put it out, then you have to tour off of it. And you mm-hmm. support the singles, you support the videos. Now it's like, I put out my mixtape, and 2 months later, listen to my new one. Yeah. It's like, I didn't even get through the 16 songs you gave me on the first one.
You're still trying to fall in love with the first one, and they're throwing another one out.
But artists are afraid now to get lost in a shuffle sometimes, mm-hmm. so it's a gift and a curse. The internet has created an urgency of, we want to go to sleep and wake up, and Beyoncé just put a CD out while we were sleeping.
Social media has done that, too. You know, like Twitter and Facebook, you always have to have some sort of status update. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't just create just to create a status update.
The mystique is gone now. That's one thing I don't like about locally or on a national level. The mystique of an artist is gone. Part reason why we fell in love and liked people because they presented what they presented, and then you long to wonder what they did or what they like to do. Or, you know, it's like, I don't want to know if you're on the toilet composing your next record. You know what I mean? Or like, I don't want to know that you went to
You mean like their Instagram account that shows everything they do all day long?
Yeah, it's kind of like the fans have created a monster almost because we've demanded more of our artists, and now our artists feel like they have to give us so much when really we just want great art. And it's like it's mirrored now. Like it's really muddy now between now your TMZs and your social media and your paparazzi and your nonsense with how do we balance out the actual art form and, you know, what we want to get as a consumer now.
I'd be curious to know how you feel about that, Aaron, since you are a music director at MSE, so you see it from that aspect, but you're also a musician in bands that are, like, you're going out touring the Midwest this weekend. How do you guys decide what pace is comfortable for you? Is it just kind of fit in with your schedules, or do you feel that need to, like, have to release new music all the time?
No. I think maybe I'm kind of, I guess the people I play music with kind of dictate more of what pace we set, but we don't feel like we need to do XYZ. I think we're more old school. I play music with people who are my age or older. Like, mm-hmm. we're in our 30s and 40s, and I don't think it's as important to us that the whole, I don't know, the social media frenzy and all that stuff. So maybe we're lagging behind, but maybe we'll come out ahead because of it. I have no idea. I just don't think my bands have ever really cared too much about.
But it's definitely an issue that the younger generation.
Yeah, I feel like they
especially
feel
if you want to get big and you want to be known all over, right?
It's the best and worst thing to ever happen for us. Like I said, the World Wide Web is great because we can find each other. We can connect with people. Mm-hmm. You can find people who like stuff that you like. That's dope. But then, like I said, the downside of it is it's like, it's so much craziness on the internet that things get lost in the shuffle. And you go, when did that come out or who just dropped? Mm-hmm. It's really hard to keep up with it. And like MTV isn't MTV anymore. BET isn't BET. VH1, mm-hmm. Viacom swallowed them up to where it's like, we're just going to have 38 reality shows. And at 4 a.m, maybe you'll see a music video.
Yeah.
So then as a local artist, like, well, I've seen that change as far as we release projects and videos on the internet now. Like, we watch videos on Vimeo or on YouTube or, you know what I mean? Like, this is where you kind of go get your visual from. So on that aspect, I remember public access TV.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of people would, you know, host shows or put music videos on public access TV. I remember how poor music videos were coming from Milwaukee. And that's one thing I can say that's grown in the last 15 years. Visually, from directors to videographers to artists, people actually put time, money, and effort into these visuals now that can actually be, like, I think one of Ishtar's video made it to MTV U, which is their, like, college programming. Mm-hmm. So, like, to see where artists from the city have grown in that aspect is really dope. So the internet is good in that aspect because, you know, MTV and these places don't play videos anymore. But to have a quality video that's available on YouTube or somewhere where people can find you and watch you, you can get your music exposed faster. Versus, I'm going to see your video before I would maybe hear your song.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And also, I feel like you can make the video on your phone, too. Like,
yeah. You can.
Like, you know, in the exact same spirit that you can make, like, an EP in your bedroom, like, with your laptop and, like, a loop station or whatever. Like, and you can have that up online and in the hands of a radio person to then, like, the pile is way bigger. But also, like the visuals are, I mean, you can, you know, within a week or like a day or two, like we have a music video series. I'll hold the plugs until the end, but, like we're able to, on a very shoestring budget, like execute these like amazing videos. I think, you know, Hello Death is on the next one. By the way,
Hooray.
I said I would wait, but,
sorry.
Thanks. There's also with the internet, I feel like both, you know, locally and with a national music landscape or international even, like we're able to, like we're constantly looking over each other's, like, you know, fences and being like, oh, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Oh man, I need to do better than that. Or
right.
Maybe it just inspires you to do more.
You're either drawing influence that's helping you or it's maybe driving you, but it's also like, you're just like, you're inundated with this, like, I'm not doing enough. I need to make it. I'm not going to make it. This person's making it. Why are they making it? Like,
yeah.
It's just like you said, just the utter, you know, saturation is just,
it's the copycat.
It could be the motivator or it could be,
Do you see it as, like, positive or negative? Like, have you seen a severely, like, negative example?
Well, like, with what we do with, you know, being a relatively new outlet, I used to be like, oh, they got that. I can't believe they're doing this. Or, like, ours is better. Our, like, you know, field report articles are better than theirs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like, oh, we do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
We only have a limited amount of, like, I can only be awake writing so many hours. And,
you mean you're not a robot?
I'm not. I'm a very horrible robot. I'm like Big Hero 6 if I'm a robot. But I don't know. I guess just... I think there are musicians who are just, you know, pummeled by the expectation, and like, you know, there are rappers that they see that Ishtar is on MTVU, and they're like encouraged because it's like, oh, he came from here,
right?
The exact same ingredients that made him, they could vault, you know, my music kind of the next level. But then there's other rappers who are insanely petty, or they just, they're like, why not me? I've been putting in all this work for longer. I'm older.
But like she said, is it a negative? Kind of what you're saying, but what she said, it is a negative and a positive. Because prime example, what I can see from the local aspect where the negativity from the internet comes in. Before I got here, today's Monday, I do something on my Snapchat called Music Submission Monday. It's not formal, but it's just something I started doing because I get a large email full of submissions of local music. So to make it fun for me, if I have to sit here and listen to these, let's go on Snapchat and play 10-second clips. Because in 10 seconds, you really can know or not if you really are going to like a song, honestly.
I totally agree.
The first 10 seconds of a riff or whatever, you'll know, like, I'm liking where this is going or I don't. Exactly. So I basically post 10-second clips of the songs. I never disclose who the artist is. I never disclose the title of the song. I never comment. All I do is either make facial expressions or nod my head or do nothing. And the people who will follow me on Snapchat reply or comment based on, number four was dope. What was that? Or like, oh my God, that was horrible. How long did you have to listen to that? So with that being said is I listen to local music often. And the problem I see, because of the internet, local artists are looking to do like what he said. If that worked for so-and-so, maybe people are, instead of making, like she said, they make music how they feel. They don't let anybody dictate their pace. The problem with the new age of music is we want things so fast. It's microwave. I don't want to wait for the food to get done in the oven. It's going to be a much better meal, and we can have leftovers. But this microwave meal is so quick and so fast, I'm just going to do it now. And I see four other people have microwave meals, and they're eating already. That's what's the problem with the hip-hop scene in Milwaukee is right now locally. They hear a Future. They hear a Rich Homie Quan. They hear all these guys. So they've tried to adapt. If that's working for those guys, then maybe I should do that, and then people would like me. And it's like, no, if you make that music, fine. But I can tell you don't want to make that music. When 8 songs sound the same, I know that these guys are just watching the formula nationally and saying, maybe we can make it successful and pop if we make that same kind of record. So I think that's what hurts us as far as locality. The internet exposes you to different things, but it also helps you lose creativity because you'll try to sound like something else that is successful to make yourself successful, when in reality you could make your own thing and organically find your niche. Somebody likes everything. You don't have to try to conform or be what everyone else is doing. But I work for iHeartRadio. It's the biggest radio corporation in the country. V100.7 is the largest radio station pretty much in the city on that aspect. So people want to get on the station. I host a 30-minute segment every Saturday that plays these artists. So that's one thing that's changed in the last 15 years. There wasn't the platform that I host 15 years ago, there wasn't anywhere really a local artist could get their music played. So I have a segment that plays that. The downside is they are trying to sound like everything else that is out right now to get on the format, when I'm telling them that I would play it regardless if you put the time and effort in this mix properly. But
would you ever think about, or maybe you do this already, like going out and holding like small workshops just to kind of, you know, spread this message to people and not discourage them from making music, but kind of point out like what you're noticing in the position that you're in at your job, and kind of encourage people to take a couple extra moments, or maybe even collaborate with other artists that they might sound similar with to create something brand new?
I've found different pockets. It's all about, to me, it's not always about what you say, it's how you say things. So, like how we're all having a conversation right now, this feels natural, feels organic. I don't mind doing it. Other times, things seem forced. So, I never want to force my opinion on anybody. I want them to make whatever they're making, and I'm biased to it. You know, I mean, I'm non-biased. I don't have any opinion on it. But at the same time, when a certain artist does submit or I do have interaction, if I feel compelled, then it might feel like, heads up, this is what but normally I don't interject because I don't want them to think that they have to cater. 250,000 people listen to that station a week. Don't worry about me. There's 249,000 people that are listening. If you're trying to appease me, it won't work because I wouldn't play 75% of the music I play on the radio. Mm-hmm. If it was up to me, I wouldn't play 75% of it. So it's like pulling teeth kind of, because it's like I would like to interject, but it can be dangerous because if they do value my opinion, now they've done the opposite. Instead of making what the masses made, they're going to now try to cater to me, to appease me, to get on the radio.
Saying, listen to me. Don't listen to anybody.
I feel like we have the opposite experience with a lot of the artists, which is, I guess, really cool. And maybe it's hip-hop artists, or it's folk artists. It's artists like across all genres of music. I feel like there's, at least the artists that we're exposed to, a lot of collaboration happening in the city, and they're really interested in not only supporting each other, but making cool music together. And I feel like every time we offer like any kind of a free space to talk about this with musicians, like people really show up and they really want to know, because they have these preconceived notions of how you get a record on the radio or how you should do things. And it's not... And it's just nice to be able to help educate, and not that we're experts by any means, because we call in people from the community to help do that. But I think it's a cool resource, and it's just a really neat way, too, to get people in the room face-to-face that maybe haven't met before and spark new ideas. I know, you know, MSC has the same vibe, too, as far as how they treat local musicians.
I feel like a lot of times musicians don't know that we're approachable. The radio is super approachable, and they don't know how to approach.
Right.
Radio. So they think it's like supposed to be formulaic, like, oh, I can only get on the radio if I sound like this or if I know this person, but that's totally not true.
Right.
Like there's the idea of like, I mean, whether it's in a written format like us or on the radio, there's the idea of like the people that are you know, manning the gates or whatever, like they're holding you out, but like really the music is what matters most. It's not like, well, I only read things that are from like a PR agent or a publicist or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
In fact, I don't like that. It's already one strike against you.
Yeah.
Because I get a million emails like that a day, but it's just like what you're adding, you know, to the city, like let that be the thing that speaks the loudest, and then maybe attempt to get us the album before it's out so we can, you know, write about it first or whatever. But otherwise, just as long as you're doing what you're adding something different, as long as you're maybe doing like a little sidestep of what everyone else is doing. It's like Another analogy is like if you're, I don't know, if you're in business school or whatever, like you're learning things that once work for businesses. I don't really get that. Like you're reading like a book from years ago that went through the whole publishing process, and it's like, here's what works in business, but by then everyone else is already onto something else. You
right.
know? Yeah. It's an ever, you know, music, like any art form, like anything, it's like an ever-changing, ever like evolving, ever-growing thing that if you hold still or if you look back or if you're even looking over to the side, you're going to get lapped by somebody. But I want to get into the local music side. I feel like we're going off on some sort of – am I leveling off here?
No, no. I'm just at the time. So much time left.
I think that was a little bit of like a like departure from what they're hoping that we would get from them. I mean, who is – like we mentioned Ishtar,
really
Wave Chappelle – who here do you think either is improving the local music scene, or who has the ability to maybe draw some national attention our way that either is already or might be soon?
New Age and Narcissism is such a cool collective of artists that all have different styles and ways of approaching music that I think is really exciting and really cool that translate not just beyond Milwaukee, but could get really big. However, there's so many people in the band, right? So it's hard to kind of get all together. And you have to kind of tour now and
put
the time in, right?
Like the Library Loud Days thing that they did. Like that's progressive for the Milwaukee Public Library allow a concert to take place at, you know. I actually cut the commercial for that. So when I first caught wind of it, I'm like, what's going to happen at the public library? So that just is an example to kind of piggyback back to what we initially talking about, what has progressed in the scene. Yeah. For a public library to put that platform together for somebody to come see a free concert of a collective of artists, that's different. I think they did something at the art museum as well. Mm-hmm. So those are different things that are showing the ability to grow.
It's like solving the problem of all ages shows, too, and getting the youth involved. So, yeah, that's huge. It hasn't happened in a long time in Milwaukee.
But to pick one, it's kind of hard to pinpoint certain artists because I would say more now than ever, the Milwaukee music scene is more vibrant than ever. I would honestly say being a guy who was a fan, like I said, a consumer, someone who contributed musically to different things, I've seen it come and go in different pockets. And like he said, there were times where we had a few artists who had national attention from the city. Then there were times where, I mean, there was no one getting any national attention. Then you might have people locally getting attention, but it was in a pocket where only these people kind of were with it. Now, like he said, you got a guy like Ishtar who collectively in the city, a lot of people really don't know who he is, honestly, because he was able to capture an ad or an interview with Complex Magazine, which is huge. And then he was able to go on like a European tour before having a project out. That's great. But the downside is the city as a whole was not familiar. I played one of Ishtar's records, the Sugar record. I played that a couple weeks ago. People don't know who he is on a larger platform, like maybe outside of the city. But the problem is we're talking about locally. So it's crazy how you can have success somewhere else sometimes, and in your own home base, people are not aware of you.
Yeah.
So it's a gift and a curse because Milwaukee has a ton of artists in multiple genres and that have so much talent and potential. The whole city is on the cusp. If we were outside tipping a truck over, Milwaukee is, as a whole, tipping over the truck of the industry and almost going to force our way in. We get so much attention now where people look at us. I just did an event 2 weeks ago with Wyclef. Wyclef claimed to Milwaukee with Remy, the liquor brand, to look for producers from Milwaukee. They picked five cities, and we were one of the five. That wouldn't have happened 15 years ago. There's no way that Wyclef from the Fugees, who's a Grammy Award-winning
maybe prize.
Maybe we can't have a drink on Water Street, but to have Wyclef come with Remy and say, hey, we're only going to five cities. And Milwaukee's one of them.
Yeah, what were the other four?
They did Indianapolis, Chicago, Detroit, St. Louis.
Okay.
So to pick us as, and then they did five in the West. So only five in the Midwest, five in the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And for us to be one of the five just shows that someone somewhere is saying we should go there. Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing is the guy from Universal Republic texted me today. And he says, hey, I'm just following up with you. I said, where'd you guys go this week? Detroit? He said, yeah, I was in Detroit and we were in Chicago. And I said, how did everything go? He said, oh, we had a great time hanging out. He said, I'm going to be honest with you. You guys had the best by far. We had the best time in Milwaukee, and you guys had the best producers by far. He's like, I'm just telling you. And they invited me to come for the finals is in December in Chicago for the finals. So they're going to pick, you know, supposed to be a guy from every city, one guy from each city.
Do you know who's made it so far?
No, we sent two from Milwaukee.
Which ones?
We sent Kame One, and we sent Brandon Wavy Boy Washington. And the crazy thing is they had never picked two people from a city ever. This is the third year they've done this. They've never picked two people from one city. So Milwaukee sent two people from our city to represent. And Kame One is produced on a ton of different guys' projects from the city. And
yeah, was in Yodot, his latest?
Yeah.
Or his one that will eventually be out, I'm told.
Right. He's produced for a lot. And Brandon Wavy Boy, he's actually a skilled musician. He plays at a church. He plays with several different bands in the Milwaukee area. He plays keys. He plays drums. And then he also knows how to use drum machines and Fruity Loops. So he's actually a skilled musician. So Wyclef was so impressed with these guys. And I was fortunate enough to be on the panel with the guys from the record companies. And we sent these two guys to the finals. So that just is to show you that Milwaukee has a sound now that what is its sound? It has multiple sounds that are have enough appeal to be national or industry, but it's homegrown still.
Like another national appeal is Direct Hit. They're on the biggest, I would say, punk label happening right now on Pat Records.
Mm-hmm.
They
were,
you know,
just
that's
on
another
the
thing.
Warped Tour too.
They were on the road with NoFX, and I think they're headlining their own tour right now with like Tenement, which is another mostly Milwaukee band.
Mm-hmm.
Their main songwriter is like from Appleton, but I say that they're Milwaukee still because
we'll claim them.
67% of them are from Milwaukee.
We'll claim Weezer. We'll claim them.
But that's another instance of like they play the Metal Grill, which is a 300-person place because like they can't have any success at like Turner Hall at this point. You know, they can't feel comfortable booking that. They would take a loss because I don't know if it's like the genre of music that they play or if it's just the Milwaukee vision of local being less than. But I feel like that even though it will always be there, like I feel like the best local musician will always they'll always lose out to Pat McCurdy at Summerfest.
Or the Bodines.
Oh, yeah, the Bodines, like the ghosts of the Bodines. Even though that will always happen, I feel like there is a growing acceptance. It's a steady growth, but it's...
Well, you just hit it on the head.
It's encouraging.
But remember 15, 16 years ago, it would be difficult for a local artist, like you said, besides those people we named, to get booked at Summerfest, period.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they damn near had like a Milwaukee stage at Summerfest where there were a number of artists who performed.
Yeah.
Not only that, on the flip side, let's not just talk about artists. You have DJs and producers. They let several DJs from Milwaukee do sets.
Right, and they had opening slots for headliners.
Which is different now. So, I mean, remember when they did, what was it, a couple years ago, they did the Harley Davidson anniversary?
Mm-hmm.
For when Common came, when they had Common and Lupe, the DJ who DJed that was DJ Devastate, who was a local guy. So you had DJ Devastate do the entire event. So those are kind of examples showing that not only our artists, but our DJs, our producers, even our engineers. There's a lot of guys who engineered on Grammy Award-winning projects from right here in Milwaukee. We have a ton of writers here that, like, write amazing. Like, people don't even realize, like, Beyonce is, like, one of the biggest artists in the world. Take it or leave it. Rico Love is from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and wrote Sweet Dreams for Beyonce. But people don't know that. Like, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of times the issue with... I'm going to tell you what the real issue with a lot of local music. There is no industry here. And the reason there's no industry here is because anyone who makes any form of success from here, they leave. The reason why Atlanta became what Atlanta became, because think about it, Atlanta was an offshoot. New York, L.A., Chicago were places where the film, the Broadway, you know, music industry, that's where those places were. Atlanta in the last 15 years has become the mecca of music. And the reason is because after people became successful, they stayed. Or they left and brought back resources. So therefore, you can have major labels looking in your market. The problem with Milwaukee is anybody who makes any real success typically leaves. and they don't return. So if you don't come back with resources to help build a community up, like she said, talking to people and saying what works, what doesn't work, giving people a sense of hope, people continue to say, I got to make it, I just got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah. When you say
latch on to an existing party, like you'd rather join that than make your own
Right. I'm from Milwaukee, right? But I went to Houston or Nevada or Atlanta and got successful. So now when I do interviews and you go, where are you from? Yeah, man, I'm from Savannah, Georgia. I'm from Atlanta. And we're at home like, he went to high school. That's the problem. People change their identities because they feel like there's nothing to latch on to at home, or there's not enough of it at home, so I'm just going to leave and become who I am, and then...
Or you can't explain your city.
Right. Or when I come home, I'll be Milwaukee's own when I'm hanging out. But when I leave and I do interviews nationally, I'm from somewhere else, and we've seen that before.
So when you talk about resources, is that kind of like the media working with the radio stations, working with the venues to all kind of create a viable living for people so they can stay in Milwaukee? Like, what's the biggest thing you think we're missing?
Well, for instance, like, before Hollywood became Hollywood, it had to become an industry. Like, films didn't always, there weren't always TV lots and films there. Mm-hmm. At some point, someone with either access or a network or money was able to funnel it. Like Vegas. Mm-hmm. Vegas wasn't Vegas. And it's the middle of nowhere. Like, there's nothing in Las Vegas. So somebody had to say, let's take this kind of unused area, this uncharted territory, and start building on it. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee is a melting pot and one of the dopest uncharted areas. Like, there's so much talent here on so many levels, and people now are respecting it and coming to look for our talent. But the difference is people are pulling our talent and leaving with it. Scouts, talents, A&Rs, whoever. Like, people want to come here and take our talent, but then they don't want to put back. So what I mean by creating an industry or making resources, kind of like what we're doing, we're coming together to have a discussion. Everything starts with a discussion. So if I become a successful, just say DJ, say EDM is hot right now. Say I'm a big EDM DJ from Milwaukee, and I get to go and do all these major festivals, and Calvin Harris wants to work with me. That's huge. So now if I'm working with Calvin Harris, when I get an opportunity, I have to bring Calvin Harris to Milwaukee. See, that's the difference. Like, Calvin Harris, of course, wants me to travel to LA and Australia. I have to get Calvin Harris to come to where I'm from, so he can see what else is here, or just expose him to something. When you start doing that, then that'll make people go, I wasn't aware that this was here. I wasn't aware that you guys had a scene or whatever. Okay, now that'll be validation. If Calvin Harris is hanging out at 720 and that DJ from here is doing a party with Calvin Harris, that creates something to look at, something to smell, something to want to touch. Mm-hmm. So then it seems tangible now. So now from there, you can go, okay, we're going to do a music workshop. So for any artists that want to be EDM or pop, or people want to do this, we're going to do a workshop, and this is this. And then from there, you can put a production company here. Then maybe an independent label. Then maybe a PR firm. Maybe or whatever. You start kind of finding the pieces of whoever is in whatever industry as far as media entertainment and doing something of a level. And then, of course, on a local level, you holler at Journal Sentinel. You holler at the radio station. You holler at 889. You holler at everybody in the industry. Then you can create an industry. And it's a platform and a network for artists. But in reality, if you don't have anywhere to go with what you're doing, and if there's no venues for you to perform at, then you create – there's a problem. There's a void.
And I think, like, you know, back to 2001, there were less music festivals, less, like, diverse venues. And then you look at – the way things are now, there's still a lack. There's still like a ton of festivals, ton of opportunities to play venues, but there is no like, there's a lack of studio space. There's a lack of places to record.
Right.
It seems like the resources are getting there step by step.
Absolutely. But it's still like you said, or the platform isn't there. So say there are resources, but there's nowhere for me to showcase what I've. So if we're working on a project in a paper, okay, I've quoted my sources where I got my information, but there's no room for me to do my presentation. Like, where am I going to tell you what I found and I discovered? So part of it is the part of the industry that I'm in. Radio plays a pivotal part. It's, in essence, our local radio is failing our artists because we don't provide a platform for them. Now, again, we know there's hundreds of thousands of artists and a lot of people suck. Let's just be honest. They do. It's very difficult. The music industry is harder than the sports world. you have a better chance sometimes of becoming an athlete than becoming a successful singer or performer. It's very difficult because you don't have to be a certain height, weight. It's way vast. So anybody can be an artist. So that means it's oversized work and you get a lot of bad stuff. So local radio or papers or stores are afraid sometimes to take a risk because you go, it's not gonna, or people don't want to hear it. Okay, fine. Everybody can't get in the door. But like you said, if you have quality people who have professional sound, professional looks, we have to get behind these artists. Like, you have to give them a platform. Like you said, mm-hmm. if we only can say in the last 10 years that five artists from Milwaukee have been in rotation, that's a problem. Because maybe 10, 15 years ago, there wasn't enough artists who deserved to be in rotation. I'm pretty sure all the music I listen to, all the music I get, I can name you 10 guys that deserve to be in rotation right now. So that's kind of part of the problem. Like, the platforms aren't there. Then Summerfest. Summerfest has to start taking a risk. It's cool to get a Britney Spears. It's cool to get whoever's really big. But you have to start looking in your backyard and saying, which artist should we put on these stages before these people? Mm-hmm. The rave has to do that. Nightclubs have to do that. We have to. That creates the community to give the artist the platform. Anybody doing something quality on a high level, we have to get behind it. Same with JS Online and On Tap or whatever. The people who are the gatekeepers, so to speak, in mm-hmm. the community, which we are a part of, we have to do a better job of networking with each other to open up these platforms for these artists to give them somewhere. Because the public, if they don't know, like we just said, Ishtar is dope. But the public locally is not aware of him. So therefore, it's hard for him to come home and sell out a show. Mm. He could probably sell out a show. I know they did one in Chicago this past summer. And Classic is another guy. Mm. These guys can go other places and do great shows. And I've seen them do some nice shows like at the Cactus Club or on East Center and stuff. Dope. We got maybe 200 kids in a room. But why not say we're going to put him on the stage with the Roots at Summerfest? So, you know, there's thousands of people who are going to come see the Roots. Put him on that stage to let him open for the Roots. So now he's able to be exposed to a new audience, mm-hmm. and you can say he's Milwaukee's own. Oh, wow, I didn't even
That happens a little bit, though.
Yeah, that's been happening more.
He opened for Ludacris the year before last.
Yeah.
I think Webster X was on before him, too.
Right.
Yep.
So that is happening a little bit, but
it's
I feel like...
It's not fast enough.
But it's not connecting. Like, but that's happening, but then it's not on air. Or it's happening on air, and then it's not happening here.
It happens on air with, like, the public radio stations,
right.
But how do you get it to happen on air with a station like yours
right.
that has, you know, twice, three, maybe four times as
the
many
reach.
Listeners, right,
right,
in the reach? So that's probably the eternal struggle because we can program locally, so that stuff's
right.
important to us, so we do it all the time.
Right.
How do we get the other stations that have the reach to
Well, because you
figure
gotta,
that out too.
Really, in the market, at the end of the day, you have Kiss FM, you have us. The majority of southeastern Wisconsin listens to us. There's no way around it. The numbers are there. Like, if you take an age group between and who's really the consumers really of music, 18 to 35 years old, honestly. Anybody over that, they consume music, but totally different than those
yeah.
people. So anybody 18 to 35 is really who is really determining how music goes right now, how culture moves. And they're a melting pot. They like everything from Katy Perry to Young Jeezy. Like, they like everything. Like, it's just a different gap. So that's dope. But the problem is they don't know that they should like people in their backyard because it's not being presented to them. So Kiss FM might play a kid like Corey Piper one day. Then another day they may play something else here and there. It's really sparse. Same with us. It's really sparse. So it comes to the point where the two powerhouses in the city have to start going, okay, let's look at the quality stuff that's out there and put it on a platform where it can be heard. Then if we're doing that, then if the Rave is booking these people, Turner Hall is booking these people, Summerfest is booking these people, you guys are putting them in publications, then they are getting some more. Then that's how it starts. The awareness happens. It's not going to happen overnight, but if you get these people involved to start making things happen and presenting these things, the public will be aware more that there are all these different genres and artists that are quality mm-hmm. in the city.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like it works on both ends, though, where like you mentioned your massive reach, and mm-hmm. Like you've also mentioned either like, you know, Journal Sentinel or like Tap or like whatever affiliate section
right.
they have. Like you need to bolster, you have to work on the bottom, which like a website like ours, you know, Milwaukee Record is like this young, unproven thing. And I
but
feel like there are people,
a lot of people. Though,
well, it's right? a lot of local, like we are the local music side, I think, you know, by maybe lack of anyone else attempting to get the title, but that's what we hold important.
You guys do good work though.
But if we, if we build that base, I've been seeing more, like, I don't know if it's like a reaction to, I feel like it's the local artists, you know, mostly that are, but they're making it easy for them to be written about. But like, you're seeing a lot more articles about local bands in the Journal Sentinel now.
He's going to way more shows and
With a laptop affixed onto his body,
of course.
Like writing on deadline.
Yep.
But he's an awesome guy too. So, but I feel like just if you bolster from like the bottom and the top with people who are jaded, who are never going to listen to a widely listened to radio station, or they're never going to read a newspaper anymore. Like if you work on both ends, you could get the people that they like rely on more. Identifiable and accessible resources, and the ones that you have to happen upon. I feel like if you make sort of like if we're the bread on the bottom and the top, eventually we're going to find. I'm losing my sandwich metaphor here.
and the cheese.
We're going to get more ingredients into our sandwich that will just make a delicious sandwich. I don't know.
Well, do you think do you think there's too much competition between the big papers and the blogs or the
V100s?
I don't think so at all.
No.
Because I know that the people sitting at the table don't think so, but when it comes down to it, like, how do we convince, like, we've had a lot of meetings with 102 and we've wanted to do more stuff with them, and it doesn't happen. It falls through the cracks. How do you get it not to fall through the cracks for the greater good of the musicians in the city?
Well, one thing right now, what we're doing in this room, like, a year ago, the four of us went in a room together. So that's the start of it. If you have people who are open-minded, first of all, or like-minded, things can happen. Like, the problem is if people don't ever get to cross paths, then you're fighting a fight alone. It's like if you feel like you're the only person who feels like it would be okay for you to wear your hair green, then you would feel like you're on an island alone. Mm-hmm. But if you see other people wearing purple, green, orange, you go, you guys like coloring your hair too? That's not a conventional color.
Yeah, I color my hair white.
So if you find out that there's other people who think or feel how you feel, regardless of whatever genre you like, if you feel like we should be getting more of an opportunity to showcase these things, then it can happen. Everything starts with a conversation, whether it's negative or positive.
Like super grassroots, organic.
Yeah,
stuff.
You have to have a convo, and we have to create platforms and venues. So, for example, so if the main places where people can perform aren't allowing these things, then the people like us who have some kind of network or connect then have to start putting things together and say, okay, we're going to go to the Miramar every Thursday, and every Thursday at the Miramar we're going to feature five artists. You have to do it yourself then. Like, you can't wait for people to do things for you. Same with the artists. Like you said, the artists have created better music now, making it easy for us to want to listen to it or buy it. So then we have to start saying, okay, if the people that are in the bigger positions of power aren't allowing these things to happen, then we have to organically create it ourselves then. So you get a network of different people and you say, okay, let's find a venue and let's talk to this venue and let's try to book these different artists once a month or every few weeks or whatever you have to do. Miramar is a great example. You can use that venue and say, we're going to present this here. Just like when they were doing the Milltown Beatdowns. That was great. That was giving artists who were producers a platform to have an audience where they maybe wouldn't. You might be super dope, but you don't have a draw. You can't get a draw. Mm-hmm. Somebody else may not be as good, but they're very popular. Well, you have to find a way to get him in front of his audience.
Yeah.
And that's what you just have to do. Like, we have to find ways to network amongst ourselves if the bigger powers won't help with it. You just have to find a way to use your own resources. But like I said, that's creating an industry, and that's what's missing in Milwaukee. Enough people are not piling their resources together. Like you said, she said, is it like a competition or people feel like we can't coexist?
I don't know. I think it's maybe because people don't... They don't know how to portion out their day. They're trying to be everything to everyone.
Okay.
And they're worrying too much about maybe their audience. You know what I mean? Or
the bottom line matters too much.
I feel like it's somewhere in the equation it needs to be realized that in order to work together, you need to set aside some time and work on community engagement, including other media partners, too. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, bringing up the Milltown Beatdown's interesting, too, because that's not going to happen anymore, right? Because Jordan's tired and he's got other stuff going on. So we have to inspire like a younger generation who was into it to kind of pick up those reins and empower them to, you can if this is important to you, you can make this happen. You can carry on this really awesome tradition that we've started here in Milwaukee and keep these things going. Otherwise, like last year is going to be, or this earlier this year is going to be like the last Milltown Beatdown ever, which is sad.
Right.
I guess that there is like another difference though, in between now and then, even as like a non-resident at that point. There is this investment in the future, though. There are these outlets like either Free Space or Girls Rock Milwaukee, True School, School of Rock. There are all these outlets that are just, they're like in place now to encourage the arts and the growth and multi-genre, projects with each other and stuff. And there are benefits that are like Arte Para Todos. It's entering its third year this winter, I hope, at least. I haven't heard anything official. But I think over the years they've raised a combined $40,000 roughly for area school art programs, exclusively the art programs in school.
That's dope.
So that's a reason to be like, hey, we want you to succeed. Like, even though without having politics, there are certain officials in our state who are defunding schools.
Right.
So that's an investment. Like, if you don't believe in us, we do. Like, we believe in our city and our future.
Right.
So that might be the thing that allows a person to stay. These anomalies that they wind up being amazing rappers or really good, like, guitarists or whatever.
Right.
They will want to stay because they had that boost from a local musician. Or maybe, seeing a band like Negative Positive.
Yeah.
They're like out of the Girls Rock. And so they've been opening for these larger bands at local festivals and block parties, and they've been getting in front of hundreds of people at this point.
They're
13. So, to have that outlet, that's amazing. And I feel like the future is bright. It's just a matter of, as always, as we're noticing in Milwaukee media, just the local market waking up and acknowledging it and not saying, like, oh, my God, Pink will be at Summerfest.
Right.
Pink, she's fine for what she is.
Let's get Tiger Night to open up.
Oh, yeah, why not realize that you have your own
version
of Pink here?
Yeah.
And there are things like, Gold that... yes, their response is, I think, to things that have worked nationally, but they're also doing something fun and interesting and just like infectious in town. So why don't you get on board and just – it doesn't have to be them. It could be anybody.
It could be anybody, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It could be like the band Holy Shit. Like, I don't know if we're allowed to swear on this, but
I was sure.
We made it this long. I can't believe that. But
you did good.
They're 11 years old, and they have songs that are 30 seconds or grindcore, and there's an audience for them. They tour overseas. They're huge in Japan, and they play basements in River West here.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with Mistreaters, too, in their time. They were huge in Europe, or they toured Europe frequently, and...
Yeah.
I mean, they were huge in Milwaukee in their scene.
It's like speech from Arrested Development. They have a huge fan base in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they still release... I mean, in Milwaukee in the summertime, his family has the Roby Corn stand. But in the fall, he's in Japan performing for thousands of people. And, people don't even really realize, the gyms that we have in town. Like you said, but you can go somewhere else and be able to be successful. And at home, people will walk past you in Century. And won't even know who you are. That's just sometimes my homie calls it the Nazareth syndrome. It's like nobody appreciated Jesus when he was the carpenter. It's just Jesus. He lives in the neighborhood. And then when he starts performing miracles, you're like, oh my God, it's Jesus. So he's like, not to compare, but he's just like, people don't appreciate you when you're right in front of them sometimes. You're at home and you have to go away sometimes for people to realize that you are a value or that you matter when you were right under their nose the entire time and people just didn't acknowledge you.
Well, I think this is the most exciting time for things to really move forward than ever before, for sure, for everything we talked about, with social media and how people consume music and just kind of an air of collaboration in the city. So, I don't know, I kind of wish this little box here was a crystal ball and we could see 5 years into the future, because I think we're going in the right direction.
If we can I'll just be get dead. Her-
fast up. Well, you live hard. Come on. Jeez. Live fast.
That would be stricken from the records.
This is the part where we all drink a little bit of our drink and shake our heads.
That's the cause, though.
Liberal rocks.
Oh, my God.
So where do we go from there? That is there a segue after that? what do you think will when we're doing the info 20th anniversary discussion? Well, I mean, you three, and then Matt, my partner, will be in my
and your
like, my behest.
Yeah, yeah, I'll your
be
hologram.
You guys too. but I mean, what do you think we'll be saying? Like, what will be sort of the major point that all of you feel like you'll be stressing that? If we do a retrospective between year 15 and year 20.
Well, could I say what I hope will change instead?
Yeah, what you think, what you hope, whatever.
I hope... gavel, gavel. I hope that there will be recording studios, more studio spaces for musicians. I hope that Milwaukee, like, kind of, you know, really fosters its musicians and enables them to grow. And I just feel like right now we're all kind of, the musicians that I know are all kind of like, man, are we going to lose our practice space? And you shouldn't be worrying about that when you're a musician. I want the musicians in Milwaukee to feel secure and to like have a little more like of a platform to like chill and feel creative and not feel so harried. Like they have to spit out this next record from their closet and then pay $200 a month for a really crappy practice space that they might get kicked out of. That's my hope.
That's a great hope. I hope that, you know, we're really good about talking about stuff, and I think we're all we dream big a lot, and it's really easy to talk about all the stuff that we want to happen, and I'm not as good as putting plans into action than like talking about what I want. So for myself personally, I would like to take conversations like this and not forget about them. Mm-hmm. And even though you can't change the world, like I'm not a millionaire, but you know, I hope we find someone who can finance some of the stuff that we need and keep conversations like this going to help our artists and make Milwaukee, like, you know, 5 years from now, maybe people are talking about us like Atlanta or Minneapolis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one we left out. Like the Rhymesayers and
the Atmosphere and all those
Doomtree
guys
and stuff there. Right. Are we going around the horn? Am I up?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. I hope that there's an increase in opportunities for like all ages. Like I feel like you have to build from like youth, you know, and that's the way that you like by having by like, you know, fostering this environment where if you play music or if you do anything artistic, you're able to thrive and you're able to get support and like attendance as well. That's another thing that is important, because we are a city that still, even though with all the like the improvements, we are a city that says someone should do blank. It would be great if we had blank, but there aren't a lot of people that are executing it, and that that extends in the business world, the like the food scene, the arts, and everything. And there are like improvements, and we've had like 8 new breweries this year, you know. So
8 new concert venues for underage kids.
A whole bunch of there's a few. That'd be great. I mean, just like with the evolution of the restaurants and like the bars, like I'm looking back in some of these infos earlier and I'm seeing all these bars. I'm like, oh my God, I used to go to these places, or someone used to go to these places. and now there's a million amazing places. We're a block away from places, a mini golf course in the bottom. So, I'm going off on a weird tangent. I think, just less saying that someone should and more doing it. And then, if you're not going to do it, you should at least move out of the way and let other people do it.
I agree.
I yield the floor.
I just kind of like, you know, just more more unity as far as just you know, creating an environment where things are appreciated. I think a lot of times the art, like he said here, it's not really appreciated. Milwaukee is a very fickle market. There's so much talent here, but sometimes like there's no support. You know, there's no reason that people shouldn't be able to fill venues in their own homes when they have something viable. I'm not saying nonsense, but there's enough artists here that we should be able to be filling these venues and be able to get our own venues and not have to have a marquee artist from out of town dictate if we can get a venue. you know, we've done that before and that's fine. But at the same time, I hope to see that in 5 years that somebody from here is maybe coming home to do a show and it sells out because somebody from here is headlining the Riverside. Like, that doesn't happen. No one here from here does the Paps or the Riverside, like, ever. So I would like to see one day a band from here do the Riverside, or maybe a band from here back another artist and they do Turner Hall. Or, you know, I want to see things like that where we kind of, like I said, create an industry where we are using each other for the good purposes. Like, you know, if I need to talk to this person here, they put me in touch with this person, and just more of us interacting with each other and being more involved with each other. And like he said, it's not so much I wish somebody would. No, I'll do it. And if you're not going to do it, if you're not a part of this, like, get out the way. Like, we don't need any distractions or any negativity. We need people who want to be proactive and put things forward so it can keep going. Because honestly, I think we all agree this is the best our Milwaukee scene has looked probably ever, just as far as getting respected and attention from outside of the country and us really even starting to appreciate our own artists. So I just want to keep seeing that evolve and grow. And I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle. And I don't want people to keep thinking they have to leave here. Obviously, if you want to reach a certain level, you have to leave where you're from, but don't leave and not come back. The only way it's going to grow as a city and people respect us as an industry is if we come back with our resources. So I just hope people start leaving and coming back and helping the next person be able to evolve from that.
Right on. Can we cheers to that? That's awesome.
That was great.